Well, I invite you at this time to open with me to the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 21, verses 1 through 42. That's Joshua chapter 21, verses 1 through 42, which is found on page 195 of the Church Bible. At this juncture in the book, Israel, by now in accord with what God has pledged, giving His word, and under His blessing and mighty hand, has conquered the land of promise, which has been divvied up and allotted out to each of the tribes. So that here in chapters 20 and 21, it's as if God's people, in following His directives, give back portions of the land, with certain parts to be set aside to serve very specific purposes. In the last chapter, it would be cities of refuge to spare those guilty of involuntary manslaughter from being put to death unjustly. Here, in the verses before us, it's all about something to be reserved for the Levites. So with that said, let's go ahead and give our strict and undivided attention to the reading of God's holy, life-giving word, inspired, infallible, and inerrant. Again, Joshua chapter 21, verses 1 through 42. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites came to Eleazar the priest, and to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel. And they said to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, "The Lord commanded through Moses that we be given cities to dwell in, along with their pasture lands for our livestock." So by command of the Lord, the people of Israel gave to the Levites the following cities and pasture lands out of their inheritance. The lot came out for the clans of the Kohathites. So those Levites who were descendants of Aaron the priest received by lot from the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin 13 cities. And the rest of the Kohathites received by lot from the clans of the tribe of Ephraim, from the tribe of Dan, and the half-tribe of Manasseh 10 cities. The Gershonites received by lot from the clans of the tribe of Issachar, from the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Naphtali, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh and Bashan, 13 cities. The Merarites, according to their clans, received from the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. These cities and their pasture lands the people of Israel gave by lot to the Levites, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Out of the tribe of the people of Judah and the tribe of the people of Simeon, they gave the following cities mentioned by name, which went to the descendants of Aaron, one of the clans of the Kohathites who belonged to the people of Levi, since the lot fell to them first. They gave them Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, along with the pasture lands around it. But the fields of the city and its villages had been given to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his possession. And to the descendants of Aaron, the priest, they gave Hebron, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands, Libna with its pasture lands, Jatir with its pasture lands, Eshtemoah with its pasture lands, Holon with its pasture lands, Debir with its pasture lands, Ayin with its pasture lands, Juta with its pasture lands, Beth Shemesh with its pasture lands, 9 cities out of these 2 tribes. Then out of the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with its pasture lands, Geba with its pasture lands, Anathoth with its pasture lands, and Almon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. The cities of the descendants of Aaron the priests were in all 13 cities with their pasture lands. As to the rest of the Kohathites belonging to the Kohathite clans of the Levites, the cities allotted to them were out of the tribe of Ephraim. To them were given Shechem, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands in the hill country of Ephraim, Gezer with its pasture lands, Kibzaim with its pasture lands, Beth Horon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. And out of the tribe of Dan, Elteke with its pasture lands, Gibbethon with its pasture lands, Ajalon with its pasture lands, Gath Rimmon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. And out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, Tanakh with its pasture lands, and Gath Rimmon with its pasture lands, 2 cities. The cities of the clans of the rest of the Kohathites were 10 in all with their pasture lands. And to the Gershonites, one of the clans of the Levites, were given out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, Golan and Bashan with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the manslayer, and Bishtira with its pasture lands, 2 cities. And out of the tribe of Issachar, Kishion with its pasture lands, Deborath with its pasture lands, Jarmuth with its pasture lands, En-Ganim with its pasture lands, four cities. And out of the tribe of Asher, Mishal with its pasture lands, Abdon with its pasture lands, Helkot with its pasture lands, and Rehob with its pasture lands, four cities. And out of the tribe of Naphtali, Kedesh and Galilee with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the manslayer, Hamath Dor with its pasture lands, and Kartan with its pasture lands, three cities. The cities of the several clans of the Gershonites were in all 13 cities with their pasture lands. And to the rest of the Levites, the Merarite clans, were given out of the tribe of Zebulun, Jokneam with its pasture lands, Karta with its pasture lands, Dimna with its pasture lands, Nahalalah with its pasture lands, four cities. And out of the tribe of Reuben, Bezer with its pasture lands, Jahaz with its pasture lands, Kedemoth with its pasture lands, and Mephat with its pasture lands, four cities. And out of the tribe of Gad, Ramoth and Gilead with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the manslayer, Mahanaim with its pasture lands, Heshbon with its pasture lands, Jazer with its pasture lands, four cities in all. As for the cities of the several Merarite clans, that is, the remainder of the clans of the Levites, those allotted to them were in all 12 cities. The cities of the Levites in the midst of the possession of the people of Israel were in all 48 cities with their pasture lands. These cities each had its pasture lands around it. So it was with all these cities. Amen. Let the one who has ears to hear what God has spoken by his Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the real alien nation as the church. As God's people, we are pilgrims. This world, as we now know it, is not our final resting place. We don't belong. We don't share in its godless system of values. We may be resident aliens on a mission, serving a heavenly kingdom, calling others to repentance and faith, calling them to join us as wayfarers, looking for and ahead to a better country, to the city of God, built and designed by Him without human hands. But when it comes to having our share and piece of the pie in this life, we may be lacking. We may be a bit behind our unbelieving counterparts, all of which would be embodied in Old Testament times by the Levites. This chapter is all about them, so it helps to call to mind some background. This tribe, of course, would descend from Jacob's son, Levi. As the book of Genesis tells the story, their ancestor would mess up, and his lineage would share in his curse. He would take part in the massacre of Shechem, with the Shechemites having wronged the covenant family, but with Levi and company getting carried away in their moral outrage and going too far. So their destiny would be to be scattered, as Jacob would prophesy at the end of his life. We see that here. Without a place they can call their own. And yet Levi in that experience would have it all redeemed, turned to blessing, with the Levites siding with the Lord when the Israelites would rebel against him and worship a golden calf in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 32. The Levites, under Moses, himself a Levite, would mete out God's judgment, this time not just angry and affronted, but showing a zeal for the Lord and His holiness. And they would go on to be set apart to provide the priests and their support staff, leading God's people in worship in the tabernacle and eventually the temple. In fact, what happens here in Joshua chapter 21, as the text stresses in verse 2, takes place at Shiloh, where the tent of meeting would at first be. now that Canaan has been taken. In addition, the Levites would be adopted as the nation's firstborn, as it were, as they would be consecrated to serve in all these capacities as substitutes for the firstborn sons of all the other families in Israel. So their role would be very special, unique. They wouldn't be allowed to own or inherit any land, but they would need places to live and some means of subsistence, which the Lord would promise to them back in Numbers chapter 35, something that they appeal to by faith as this episode unfolds. In verses 1 and 2, addressing Eleazar the priest and the tribal heads along with Joshua himself accordingly. By command of the Lord then, says verse 3, something is indeed given to them. And what follows is not hard to outline. It's all driven by genealogy and geography, as Robert Hubbard writes. Cities for them to live in are determined by lot in verses 4 through 8. They are listed by name in verses 9 through 40. And then everything is summed up in verses 41 and 42, with all the listed cities totaling 48 in all. And along the way, Covenant Presbyterian Church, we are taught something very critical, something to take to heart, very meaningful and relevant to Christians living today, to us and our contemporaries, no matter how overlooked Joshua chapter 21 might often be, no matter how hard it might be to read through it and pronounce all those difficult names. Because the needs of the Levites are more than adequately met, we too can look to the Lord, the God we now know in Jesus, confident that He will provide, so that in pursuing Him, we can be assured of everything else thrown in. Everything else thrown in. I'm quoting C.S. Lewis. Here's how he would end what is now found in book form, entitled Mere Christianity. Keep back nothing, he says. Nothing that you have not given away will be really yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you will find Him. And with Him, everything else thrown in. It's a dynamic and principle at work here, displayed in the claims of Levi, and something that anticipates what Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. Whatever is needful for you and for me, whatever is conducive to His glory and our spiritual good. Our Heavenly Father knows His children, you see. Knowing intimately and thoroughly our condition and dependency upon Him. God is well aware and active and wise to give exactly the right thing in the right way at the right time. Let's take a closer look then, noting four ways in which the Lord provides for His own. First, the Lord provides Himself for His people. The Lord provides Himself for His people. Brothers and sisters, the Levites wouldn't be shortchanged in this process at all, for they would get God. No one would be as near to His revealed redemptive presence with His people as they would. And this is hinted at in how things are arranged in sequence, which Levite clans and families are located where? Levi would have three sons in birth order, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Yet, the sons of Kohath and their provision are mentioned first. You see, they're given prominence because it would be from among the Kohathites that the priestly line would emerge. Aaron, the brother of Moses, and his sons, which would start back in Exodus. And God, of course, is not to be taken by surprise later on when the center of worship will transfer from Shiloh to Jerusalem under King David, such that the Aaronic Kohathites, the priests proper, responsible for sacrifices and prayer offerings, are placed in nearby cities belonging to the closest tribes and their territories. Then come the non-Aaronic Kohathites, whose job would be caring for the most holy things, the vessels used in the tabernacle. Then the Gershonites, who would take care of the heavy coverings and curtains for the tabernacle. And finally, the Merarites, who would carry the wooden framework that gave the tabernacle its shape, with all of these tasks referred to in the book of Numbers. The point, though, is that this tribe would be privileged with the closest proximity to God in the activities they would be engaging in. With the closest proximity to the things of God, His worship, His manifest dwelling place in Israel. As a matter of fact, the Levites would point to how all of Israel would be called to enjoy this, just as all the church today is. God, our Creator and Redeemer, and His saving presence is the chief good. We are to prize above everything else, knowing Him, walking with Him, in union and communion with Him by Jesus Christ. This is our great reward, not some other lesser thing. It's not as if we are to turn to God to obtain something else by His hand, as if He's some means to some other end. That's idolatry. That's the false teaching known as the prosperity gospel. Canaan would point to the heavenly Canaan, the new heavens, and the new earth, as the book of Revelation calls it. It, along with the Aaronic priesthood and Levitical services, would be a temporary foreshadowing. Now the substance has come in Jesus, our risen and conquering King and Victor, by His sacrifice for sin, as our great and final and true and everlasting High Priest, we are brought to God, with all of us made His priests, having access to Him in the power of the Spirit, as the letter to the Hebrews outlines, as does the first letter of the Apostle Peter. And yet the best is still to come, when we will see our God unveiled in the face of Christ, with our fellowship with Him being perfected. Heaven won't be the center of heaven. He will. Because now, as well as then, He is our core inheritance. Everything else is just icing on the cake. We possess a right relationship with Him. He is our boast, our heritage, the one we are to continually seek after. First, the Lord provides Himself for His people. Second, the Lord provides for the physical needs of His people. The Lord provides for the physical needs of His people. Brothers and sisters, the Levites would still need places to live. Even if it wouldn't be their property, they would still need to eat and drink, which is what this chapter is all about, meeting their basic needs, such staples of life, with there being a certain earthiness to this stuff. Nothing material would belong to the Levites But nonetheless, they are provided for with housing and farmland, which anticipates Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6 again, where he says that we don't need to obsess over these things, that they are not what life is all about, certainly not our life in him. That we need not worry that if God clothes and undertakes for the lower creation like the lilies of the field, surely he, as our Father above, has got and will have our back. Which comes on the heels of his framework for prayer and the so-called Lord's Prayer, in which we're trained to petition our God and Father for daily bread, as well as things like forgiveness and overcoming temptation. So it shouldn't surprise us that all these things carry over into how our Lord has ordered his church, where the body is to be cared for, just like the soul. After all, we follow in our Savior's footsteps with the resurrection of the body up ahead. So that along with elders who oversee the members of the body of Christ and seek to ensure their spiritual well-being, deacons tend to the meeting of their material and physical needs. The whole person gets cared for. With these new covenant offices in the church, among other things, simply the trajectory of what we find here in Joshua chapter 21. First, the Lord provides himself for his people. Second, the Lord provides for the physical needs of his people. Third, the Lord provides largely through his people. The Lord provides largely through his people. Brothers, sisters, he uses the other 11 tribes to give shelter and food to the Levites. It's all given to them, says verse 3, out of the inheritance of everyone else. It would be voluntary on their part as much as it would be mandated by the Lord. Remember chapters 14 and 15, how Caleb of Judah would boldly, by faith, fight for and lay claim to his inheritance, nailing it down. Well, here in verses 11 and 12, we read of how he would dedicate it all such that the Levites could live there too. And such generous donations are to mark all God's people, everywhere and in every age. So does the Apostle Paul commend the Philippians for their giving in Philippians chapter 4, encouraging them that they themselves will continue to be well provided for out of God's riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God is the ultimate owner of everything, including the infinite riches of his spiritual kingdom. So that when we give to the church to support and advance its ministry, or to other Christians and ministries in need, we are giving out of an abundance even if our current resources, financially say, are rather meager. Because we are secure and wealthy in ways that matter most, thanks to Jesus, so that we are willing to stretch ourselves. And so that we find Paul similarly encouraging and exhorting his readers and hearers in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, where he teaches that we are to give not only generously but willingly, and that God loves a cheerful giver. If anything, we get to give. Giving gladly. At least that's our calling. The standard we are to strive for. Having many more advantages on this side of Christ in his coming, with the end time promise being fulfilled, than the Levites or Israel would know of. At least that is by experience. First, the Lord provides himself for his people. Second, the Lord provides for the physical needs of his people. Third, the Lord provides largely through his people. Fourth, the Lord provides for the spiritual needs of his people. The Lord provides for the spiritual needs of his people. Beloved, the end of this section, particularly verse 41, explains how the Levites' cities would be found in the midst of the possession of the people of Israel. Everywhere you'd go, there'd be Levites who would be strangers, tenants, but carrying with them a certain dignity and carrying out a very high and holy stewardship, being a reminder of what the whole nation would be called to the covenant God himself. They would be God's guardians in every district, as John Calvin comments, to retain the people in his pure worship, preventing them from revolting from a real piety. They would teach his law, as we read in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 11, and later on in Malachi chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. God's people need constant exposure to his word, so that in the present day, under the new covenant, we're still to apply ourselves to all the means of divine grace, especially the word, the sacraments, and prayer. Not forsaking the gathering of the church, as Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 so clearly says, in order to worship God, in order to sit under the preaching of his word by modern day Levite-like preachers and teachers, and in order to be about the business of mutually edifying one another, developing Christ-centered relationships with each other, using all our varied gifts to promote the functioning and health of the body, with everyone needed, with every Christian gifted in some way, like Paul sets forth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As Dale Ralph Davis quips, the church in our generation remains in need of a beneficent Levite conspiracy along these lines for the sake of her well-being and witness to the glory of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the sake of you and me, of your testimony and mine. Dear brothers and sisters, is your faith and hope and trust in Jesus? Are you turning away from everything else to him and him alone? You know you can do so because this God has got all the bases covered. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. All things pertaining to life and godliness. So, if we really need it, whatever it is, if it will serve God's glory and our genuine spiritual good, our Heavenly Father will not withhold it. He will grant it, will provide it, supplying everything necessary, supplying more than enough. It may not mean ease and comfort, but it will promote our becoming more like Christ, our sanctification. And it will result in the refining of our faith, whether that means having a little or a lot. But then again, we already have everything in Jesus. That's our lot in this life and in the life to come as well. And that's the message we spread, that others might come and partake with us. Amen.